You're listening to Art Bank on 95BFM.
You are back with Art Bank, and we are just trying to get the sound sorted for our first interview with Jordan Davey-Ems. How can you hear me now, Jordan? So I'm just bringing you onto the ear. Yeah, I have had this feedback from a few people that it does come through quite quietly. I'm going to see if I can turn it up a bit more. How's that sounding?
Yeah, that's a bit better. I'll just go inside as well and see if that changes.
This is, like I said at the start of the show, we are trying to go for that live, live phone to ear, lightness of conversation, but sometimes that does translate into just talking about whether or not you can hear people, which is also, true to the being on the phone experience, which is good. So we're talking this morning, Jordan, because you've just started the new gallery Wormhole in Edgecumbe, and it's, an exciting new gallery. You've got your first show on, which is Mana Whenua, curated by Sarah Hudson, with a real, hit list of artists, some of them established, that includes Walters Prize nominee and now Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki, Māori art curator Nathan Pohio, as well as, exciting up-and-coming artists, people who are having some major shows like Anna Iti and Aisha Green. But I want to start by asking, so you're an artist, you're a writer, you're a poet, you've worn a lot of hats, and now you're a gallerist. And what brought you to the point of opening this gallery?
Wow, it's been a bit of a journey. In some ways it feels like it's taken ages, but it's probably also quite quick too. It kind of started off when I first came home from university. I kind of moved back to my small town in the Bay of Plenty, and I had this moment where I wasn't sure how all these strange art school ideas would fit into this new and old context of being at home. So it's kind of been brewing since then. I've had a few different jobs, including 4 years at a council-run gallery just recently, and I was just really wanting there to be a different space and more variety in our community. I really wanted to be able to set the tikanga and be able to treat artists the way that I thought they should be treated. We'll see how this goes. It's kind of a little experiment, yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say, coming home and thinking about how all the things that, those conversational points of art school and how they can translate outside of that art school context, because it is such a closed world. And I was wondering, when you say that, what sort of ideas are you thinking about? Like, is it kind of the conceptualism or the academia? What, could you clarify that a little?
Yeah, I'll try. I think more experimental thinking and conceptual works, I guess, that kind of, I think a lot of it lies in the language and how we talk about art, and I really loved that about art school, about accessing this different vocabulary and this way of talking about art ideas. But I think coming back home and seeing, especially day-to-day at the council-run gallery, how everyday people might be able to access these ideas was a really a different way of thinking after that hard-out art school study. So I'm kind of interested in being the bridge between those two worlds and really being there to kind of guide community through, because there's awesome ideas that people can access through art, but it can be quite scary, I think.
And so you've set up this gallery that also functions as a studio. It's got an on-site studio. And is that I've talked to a few galleries in the past months, and I was talking to Oddly Space, and they've got studios on site that artists can pay a small fee to rent on a weekly basis. Is that the sort of studio that Wormhole's operating, or is it different than that?
It's a little bit different. So at the moment it's just me in the studio. It's been a nice change from kind of the desk in my bedroom. but soon I'll be using it to run workshops, so as a different way of kind of bringing the community in, I guess, and again, bridging that little step into the potentially scary art space where anything can happen.
And you've been open for a little while now. Is it 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's just over a month now, yeah.
And have you found that, you know, are most of your visitors locals, or are they people coming from other places to visit the show in particular?
A lot have been locals, some brave folks on their way back from the supermarket or from picking up something at the pharmacy. But there have been a few from the border Whakatane district, so kind of travelling maybe half an hour to get here, which has been really nice to see, yeah. Just seeing people kind of motivated to come in and check something out.
And the exhibition you've opened with feels like it's a nice maybe bridge between conceptual practice and very tangible, you know, forms of picture making, really. Like, you've talked quite extensively about that exhibition in an article that was published on Vernacular, where you talked to Sarah Hudson about Mana Whenua, and then you talked to Felix Lang about Wormhole. So that's, you know, you've talked a lot about that already, but I thought, in brief, how would you describe the exhibition Mana Whenua?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's really beautiful. It's quite a subtle show, and it's based on a book that was published by my good friend and collaborator Sarah Hudson in 2020. So it features work by 11 Māori artists from all across New Zealand, and they've all been invited to basically reflect on their connection to whenua, to land, the way they've done that through their art practices, and to also produce small works using coloured earth from around here, from the Whakatane district, basically. So that they've done these beautiful little paintings and, in some cases, small sculptures with the coloured earth on them, and it's, yeah, just a really nice collection of people's relationships with earth.
And do you feel like, you know, when people come in maybe to the exhibition without a knowledge of the space, or, you know, you've been publishing a lot of really great discussion around some of the artists' works via social media and your website, but for locals coming in cold, how do you think they're engaging with that? Do they have a familiarity with earth pigment as a kind of, you know, historical practice, or is it new to them? Not that there's a block.
Some do, but it's a lot of kind of gauging how much people want to know about it and how much people want to just look in and read. But often a way that I go in is talking about kōkawai, the red pigment, so it's a red earth, and how this relates to kind of iron and blood and iron and soil, and, you know, everybody's seen dirt and most people have touched mud, and so they can kind of go in through that tactile vein, and then we expand on it from there.
And I was thinking, you know, artists in the city, in Auckland or Wellington, where rents are notoriously high, often kind of talk romantically or wistfully about the idea of moving to a smaller town and, you know, oh, I could start that gallery or have that studio. And, you know, there's this kind of dreamy idea of small town existence, but it often maybe is also somewhat condescending. I was wondering, as someone who actually has, you know, moved from, you know, being a practicing artist in Tamaki to a smaller town and started a gallery, do you think that kind of, how does that fantasy land in reality?
I think there's some truth in it, but it does also have its difficulties. I mean, I was really lucky to find this place in Riversleigh Mall in Edgecombe. It definitely is much cheaper than anywhere that I've seen before, including in our little town in Whakatane. It's made it much more accessible, something that I can actually do. But yeah, it depends. There's different ways of approaching community down here, and I think breaking through the habits that people already have set up and actually getting them to try something new is one of the challenges, but we'll see how it goes.
And another thing I really liked about what I've seen of the gallery is that you appear to be making everything by hand, really. Like, I saw you've made your own sign, you hand-painted it. You've been making your own business cards through, like, a printing mechanism. Is that handmadeness kind of part of the project, or is it just a matter of practicality?
It's a bit of both, I think. Practical in terms of low cost, low waste, which I'm quite interested in. Maximizing the fun for me as well. Like, I want this project to be something that I get a lot of enjoyment out of, and I really love those hands-on processes. But it's also kind of conceptual in that we are in a 1980s built Lockwood Mall that still has hand-painted signs for the toilets. So yeah, it's been cool kind of exploring those retro basic processes that my mum used when she used to help do the window displays in the mall, using OHPs to blow up images and that sort of thing. Yeah,
because I quite liked how it seemed like you finished painting the sign for the gallery last week. And it's quite great to have, yeah, like, your gallery's been open for 3 weeks and you're like, and now we have a sign. It's like, yeah, cutting the ribbon.
Baby steps.
We talked to you about your opening exhibition, which is Mana Whenua drawing, you know, Sarah Hudson curating the show from this book project. And was that kind of, you know, for how long did you know that was going to be the exhibition that would open Wormhole?
It took me a little while. I'm a bit of a slow mover, to be honest. But I think it was late November, early December. I'd been thinking, yeah, how do I introduce this project to the community? And then it dawned on me that there's this beautiful book that we in our circle have really enjoyed and loved using as a resource, but there was potential to send it further. And I thought it would be a really nice way to open up in terms of, really prioritising relationships, generosity and connections to place.
Yeah, because you also produced these lovely prints using earth pigments that are an extension of what Sarah Hudson sent to the artists to invite them to participate initially. And now you're also selling them as a way of funding the gallery. And I thought that merchandise model was actually a really great idea. Like, it's kind of win-win in a sense. It's like that thing with Kickstarter, like how people are far more willing to support a project if they feel like they're going to get something in return. Is that something, I mean, is that a way of funding a space that you think has legs long term?
I think so. I think it's a nice way to start. The way that I kind of thought that this would work would, it kind of has a few different layers. So thinking about reducing pressure on potentially quite experimental artists to be able to sell work to support the gallery and themselves, and instead work with them to make something that was in multiples that people from far away would be able to interact with as well, and have a bit of a part of our gallery community. Yeah, I think in the long term it's going to be a way that we can guarantee an artist fee and reduce a little bit of pressure on the gallery too. So yeah, I'm hoping this will be something that we can keep doing in the long term.
And in that long-term thinking, do you have a specific type of work that you're looking to exhibit? Like, is there a flavour or a character to a Wormhole exhibition?
I think we'll see. I'm loosely leading with the theme Earthly Bodies for this first season of exhibitions. Hopefully there'll be a mixture of different mediums and looks. I'm hoping that there'll be a thread of generosity and inventiveness, and yeah, we'll see how that goes.
And can you tell us what your next exhibition will be, or is that still under wraps?
It's still in progress. I'm kind of working with solidifying some plans with a few different artists. I can reveal one that I'm really excited to present to the public. We're still not sure on the timing of this, but Tessa Williams will be one of the artists that we're working with this year.
Well, that's really exciting. Thanks so much for talking this morning. And it's for people who are just tuning in, we're talking about Wormhole Gallery, which is in Edgecombe, and well worth a drive if you are listening in Tamaki. Yeah, it's a really exciting project. I'm looking forward to seeing what you have coming up.
Thanks, Theo.
And we've got a song lined up to your request. Do you want to lead us in? This is Hope, brackets, lock-in, square brackets, live at Michael Fowler Center, close square brackets, close brackets. And that's, of course, Fat Freddy's Drop. And why did you want to hear this one this morning, Jordan?
I just think it's a nice chill Sunday song, a little bit of hope for the future, you know? I thought people maybe could do with a little unwind at the end of the week.
Oh, thank you so much. We're going to jump into that now. This is Fat Freddy's Drop.
You're listening to Art Bank on 95 BFM.